It's the Freedom Coons, broadcasting from Pave 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses through rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Davi?
I sure can, especially the tasty part. I can tell my brain is like just crisp to perfection.
Good. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. So the car wreck you were in recently did not paralyze you to the point that you can still feel the rejuvenative, I don't know if I'm saying that right, radio waves?
Nope.
Good.
That's the thing about radio waves, they penetrate the skull.
No, up yours. I've upped my standards. No, up yours.
Thank you, Sangeeta. So how's it going, Nick?
I'm doing good.
How's the yak business?
It's going pretty good. I recently found out some good news that I didn't know. To sell meat, you have to have, like, packaged individual meat. You have to have a meat handler's license or something like that. But then you also have to take the animal through both a USDA-inspected butchering process for the... They slaughter the animal, and they also have to inspect the cutting and wrapping of the animal, too, for you to be able to sell it individually packaged instead of just the animal like most people do. So the stuff you see at the store is inspected for sale by the USDA, but like if you bought a pig from me, it would not be inspected to sell. The meat wouldn't be, but the animal is. That's how you get... So it's kind of a complicated system. But anyway, the yaks, Himalayan yaks, are not regulated by the USDA in that regard. You don't have to have it inspected for sale, the yak meat, which is awesome because I don't have to take it to a special facility and I just take it anywhere and I can get my yak meat stamped, or not stamped, sorry, and I can sell it wherever. So that's a big thing for business for me.
Sounds like that's...
Yaks are used on Mount Everest by the shippers. Yaks are used on Mount Everest by the shippers.
Yeah, they are.
Thank you, Sangeeta. So it sounds like you're saying that there's a, I don't want to call it a loophole, but let's call it an opportunity. Is yak meat good meat? Can you eat? Can you make like burgers out of it,
Nick,
or steaks?
Should become
or
a Sherpa.
Stuff.
Be a Sherpa for Mount Hood. No, actually, yeah, I think it is a really good opportunity. Yak meat is just like beef to me. It's a little bit leaner. It has a little bit more of the health benefits like bison does compared to beef, mm-hmm. Cattle. So it's better. It is a little bit leaner, I think. It tastes great, and it's an awesome animal to raise, so it's definitely...
You could help scatter dead bodies all over Mount Hood.
I'm not going to do that.
I don't know. Sangeeta seems to want it. What is Mount Hood? Is that an actual mountain near you?
Yeah. I think it's the biggest in the state, or the tallest or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never been there, though.
Not much of a mountain climber?
No. I like hiking, but I'm not.
The actual grandpa, mountain climber, won't they? Aren't they kind of like mountain goats in that way?
Yeah. Yeah, they're really, really good at that. In the Himalayas, that's what they do.
So is it like an animal sanctuary? Like if you're keeping them caged, do you give them things to climb on?
Not really. Some people build mounds for them. Right now I've got big old round hay bales that they climb on in the barn.
Oh, okay.
So they enjoy that. Which is, I guess, one of the things I like to do is I like to play King of the Hill. So they'll get up there, somebody will get up on top of the hay bale, and then another one will jump up and try and push it off, and that's pretty fun to watch.
What does that mean? Does that mean anything?
I have no idea. It might be like a pecking order thing, but I don't know. It does seem like the alpha bull tends to be the one that's dominating the hay bale, so it might be. But that's also because he's the biggest, so.
So these things may correlate for a reason.
Yes.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. So as you said, I was in an accident. Although I wasn't the one who made a mistake, I was driving to the airport to pick up my wife, and a guy runs a red light and T-bones me in the intersection. I'm driving a little Toyota Camry. He's driving a big, like, full-size pickup truck.
Ooh.
And, you know, brings me to an abrupt halt, and then he speeds away, so it's a hit and run. And, yeah, so lots of damage to the car. And I've got kind of like some mild whiplash going on, but I'm okay.
Good. But that's kind of frustrating to have somebody hit you and then take off.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's a crime, and I suppose it makes sense that it's a crime. This is sort of weird, like, because when it happened, like, the last thing I thought was call the police. Like, the first thing I started doing was asking the people around on the street if they had seen it, if there was a witness, because I'm thinking, like, I need to be able to report to my insurance company what happened. And finally somebody says, well, you should call the police. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, because it's a crime. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And because your insurance company is going to need a police record. And that one I didn't understand so much. Like, is it actually the case in the insurance world that an eyewitness account is not as valuable as a police officer who showed up after the fact?
Yeah, that's interesting that they have to have the authority come and say
that's what funny. Happened.
It is funny. It's weird. So there was a witness. He had a partial plate. He read four of the seven numbers or whatever, and he was just a bicyclist who happened to be at the same intersection at the same time. And, you know, police showed up, they took statements and everything, they, you know, sped off in whatever direction to catch the guy or whatever, but I don't expect that to happen. And, now it's just fighting with the insurance company.
Okay. That's fun.
It's actually kind of a funny loophole, so, this would be covered under an uninsured driver clause of the insurance, except that it was a hit and run, and so we don't know for sure that he wasn't insured, and so the insurance company won't pay out on this, like a technicality. Like, yes, you're covered if the other driver doesn't have insurance, but since we don't know whether or not he has insurance, we're going to just not do anything.
Wow, yeah, that is an interesting loophole. Seems like... I don't know. It seems like the insurance companies do have that incentive to do that, but that's a real pain to be on the other end of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's interesting because the only real reason a person would hit and run is because they're uninsured.
Right. Yeah, otherwise,
why? Or if there was some other sort of intrigue going on in their life, like they were trafficking cocaine across the state or something like that, then they might not want to stick
around. Maybe they're just busy.
Maybe they're just busy. Maybe they're just trying to get somewhere. Yeah, but, so, I mean, the funny thing is, like, I don't think that there's a human being alive who, in, you know, a non-punishing environment, wouldn't stop and apologize and make sure you were okay and all of this stuff. But because there's all of these consequences associated with, it's like 30 degrees of separation from the state, right? So, he knows if he is insured or isn't insured, or for whatever reason, he knows that there needs to be a police report, right? That he can't rely on eyewitness accounts the same way I can't rely on the eyewitness accounts. So if there's any indiscrepancies in any one of the sort of regulatory hurdles it takes to be driving a truck, he's putting himself at risk by being a good Samaritan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if his registration is out, if his insurance isn't up to date, if he's, you know, an undocumented mover, like... There are all of these reasons that if he stops and does the right thing, the state will punish him.
Yeah, I think there are probably many situations where that's true with the state.
Yeah.
I can't think of any off the top of my head. But no, that's kind of a consequence when you have this top-down ruling on, like... kind of central planning, I guess, right? The state is kind of built off the assumption that people are bad, right? That's statism. That, yeah, people aren't going to be cooperative. with each other. And that's a really interesting viewpoint that, you know, all people are inherently evil. And then we can get pretty deeply philosophical with that, I guess. But
and then it's interesting that, like,
assumption.
The law that he's most likely in violation of is not possessing insurance, right? Because California is a must-insure state. So he probably doesn't have insurance, and that's sort of why he would have run, because that would have been, he would have revealed himself as breaking a law if he stopped and said, no, I don't have insurance. But then, lo and behold, the insurance company was no good to me anyway. So he's actually smarter in this regard. Like, in straight, like, economic terms, he's probably more correct by not having insurance than I am by having insurance. If the insurance company is just going to, like, throw the case out on the technicality.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, you can't blame him for running away, but yeah. Huh. No, that's an interesting situation. I'm glad that I am not in your place, though.
Yeah.
Someday could happen.
I mean, it could have been a worse accident, too.
Yeah. I mean, it hit you on the passenger side, right?
Right.
How badly damaged was your car?
Well, both passenger side doors are crushed and will not open, and the amount that it will take to repair them is probably more than the car is worth. But it still drives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So we'll have more when we come back after this short market, trip market, to
market.
The market.
Market, market, market. Market, market, market.
Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Freedom Fiends. Welcome back, Nick. How's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good. So I wanted to talk about, why don't people get along all the time? You know, just that saying, why don't people just all get along? And it's an interesting question, and I think it really plays into what we're talking about with the car wreck, because the state has set up this system where the guy who T-boned you, who, if he didn't have insurance, it would be wiser for him to just leave and not get caught without his insurance than to stay around and make sure that you were okay, because he was the one who was wrong in this situation. So he had to leave instead of doing the right thing. And it's interesting how that works. I think that this, like I said, the state sets up this system where you're going to get punished if you don't have insurance. So if you do get in a wreck and then you get caught without insurance, you're going to get penalized instead of being the right kind of guy and just, you know, checking on to make sure that everybody was okay in the situation and sure, trying to help out everybody.
I'm really just speculating that it's about insurance, too. I mean, it very well could be that the guy didn't have a driver's license or didn't have, you know, whatever, wasn't a citizen, wasn't a documented green card, whatever. I mean, the point is just his papers were not in order, right?
Sure, yeah, it's all because the state.
Yeah. And I mean, the funny thing about that is I wouldn't have minded so much. If, like, the guy hit me and he stopped and he got out and he's like, please don't call the cops because I'm an undocumented person and they'll deport me and I have family and whatever, I would have been perfectly fine, like, working it out with him. You know, like, I didn't particularly need to call the police, except maybe because the insurance company would have required it. But I'm sure there are ways you could, you know, navigate that situation without putting him in danger.
Sure. And you know, I'd do the same thing. But I don't know if most people would.
Yeah, that's true.
It seems like the most of the people would be very upset with being T-boned. Like, that's not fun. And especially with road rage, I mean, everybody's angrier in the car. And I could imagine that it being a very inflammatory situation if you're not a peaceful-minded person.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So that's one of the things, I guess. So that's one of the reasons why people don't always get along, I guess. Or I guess maybe that's not quite the right question. Why don't people always get along for this situation? I think is, why don't people always do the right thing? And sometimes that is because there's a barrier. And in this case, the barrier was the state, which is interesting because it's supposed to be making sure that people do the right thing, right?
Well, that's the hope. I mean, that's what I think the legislator thinks or believes that he's doing when he passes laws.
Yeah.
But they don't really, you know, they're not graded on their effectiveness, right?
Sure. No, yeah. I don't even know if they're graded at all.
No, not really. Yeah. I suppose they're always up for re-election.
Yeah, but it's not too hard to get re-elected.
Yeah, there's also no movement of people clamoring for a reform in traffic laws. If you notice, they're pretty stationary. There isn't exactly a Republican or Democrat position on them.
That's true. That's interesting. Some traffic laws are stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the... I don't... have you ever heard of the city in Germany that got rid of all of their traffic regulations?
Yeah, I've heard of this experiment.
I've only read the one article and saw the one video on YouTube about it. I haven't heard of anything about it since. But that was interesting. And it seems like it would work. Like, there have been plenty of times where I'm going through town and there's nobody going through the intersection when I'm at a red light. You know, it would be... I mean, I guess I see the point, but then you look at this one town in Germany, and it totally worked, right?
Yeah. I mean, probably the most uncomfortable I've ever been in a vehicle was at, like, 1 in the morning, sitting at a red light that obviously isn't going to change. Like, for whatever reason, the sensor hasn't picked up my car or whatever, and the only other car in the road is a cop right behind me waiting for me to go. And so it's like, what do you do here? Like, obviously the reasonable thing is to run the light, but you're going to do it right in front of a cop. So what? I don't know what the answer to that is.
The state's a barrier.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends coming back at you. So, Nick, you want to tell me about the Defense Department and what they're up to?
Yeah, so it looks like the Department of Defense, especially in New Jersey, it seems is where it's getting a lot of flack, is paying some NFL teams to... They say it's for recruitment advertising. They want the NFL teams to put up on the halftime shows, showing people being servicemen being thanked for their service. People who've worked with the military, veterans, and they get some seats. Like every once in a while, somebody gets a free seat or something. And looks like the Department of Defense has spent $5.4 million just on this to these 14 NFL teams. Most of which has been paid from the National Guard and the Army and the Air Force, which is interesting. because a lot of people are upset about this. And most of the time, the people seem to be upset that the NFL teams aren't doing this for free. Like, they should be giving advertisement to the National Guard and the military for free, as well as giving thanks to the veterans.
I mean, I don't know. I've never been to an NFL game, but I imagine people go to watch football, not necessarily to watch soldiers fold flags.
Yeah, right. That's why I occasionally watch football. I don't like to see anything but the game.
I mean, the fact that they're not doing it for free is kind of like, that's all the economic proof you need to know that neither the company nor the audience really wants it, like, because they're not willing to pay for it.
Right. No, that's totally true. There isn't an economic incentive in the market for them to do it, so the government has to artificially make it.
No. I'm not sure how they justify the spending anyway. Like, so what? Like, okay, $5.4 million spent on people in a crowd getting warm fuzzies for a little while? Like, I don't really understand what it's supposed to accomplish.
Well, what the National Guard has come out and said is that it's about advertising. They want people to be recruited into the military. So they're saying that all this money is going to the NFL team so that they advertise for them so they can get their fans to sign up, I guess.
So it's just about making sure that the military is in all of the familiar places. So it's kind of always on your mind a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, and you could make some, you know, I would not be surprised if it's also part of making sure that the military is remembered, right? That is part of it, definitely, like you said. But not just for the recruitment piece of it, trying to get people to come in and join the military, but also making sure that people still have their sense of nationalism. You know, maybe there is some sort of hidden covert operation to keep people in NFL.
You got to remind people what country they're in when they're watching football. Sometimes people watch so much football they forget what country they're in. And so it's a good idea during halftime to really remind them.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I don't get it at all. The same, it confuses me too. Military recruitment at high schools, because like all but like the older seniors are underage. Like, so why would you recruit there?
Well, I mean, I've known a couple kids that have gone into the Marine Corps actually, and I don't think it was a recruitment officer that convinced them. I think they actually had the idea early on, as soon as they got into high school, whether they had somebody they looked up to that was that served in the Marines or something, or just because it was a good opportunity for them, because they came from low-income families. But no, I don't know. I've never had a recruiter come to any place that I've been, honestly.
You know, it's funny. They keep passing laws making it, well, sometimes it's to make it harder or impossible, but really it sort of seems like it's just a nanny law and it wasn't really a problem, like trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. But they keep passing laws designed to protect children from cigarette commercials, right? Like, you can't do flavored cigarettes in some states. You can't do cartoon characters as advertisements in some states. Like, they're always worried about companies advertising cigarettes to children. Well, I wonder if you were to examine the statistics, whether or not military service or a pack a week smoking cigarettes is worse for your health. Because I'm willing to bet that the military service is far more dangerous.
I would totally agree with you. I don't think many tobacco addicts end up with PTSD after smoking a pack for I don't know how many years.
I bet the suicide rates are lower.
Yeah, right. I mean, compared to veterans.
Yeah, not a lot overseas. Not a lot of cigarette-induced suicide.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there. I do think that the military is it can be harmful to your health in that regard, and that you could get damaged during wartime. But I also question the practices and how it teaches you obedience.
School or the military?
Well, both.
Both.
But I'm specifically talking about the military.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never been in the military, but I imagine it's very regimented.
Yeah, neither have I. I'm going off of what I've heard people tell me and research I've done. Very little research.
But the issue is NFL games. So do they must do this at NBA and whatever the baseball league is, right? Is this sports wide?
I did not read that. All I've seen is that they're just paying off these certain NFL teams. It's not even all of the NFL, it doesn't look like. It's just really these 14 teams is what it seems. I don't know where the list is, but the
Well, to be fair, they're only investigating New Jersey.
Right. No, that's totally true. Yeah, they're only going after the Jets, really.
So I imagine if you investigated other cities, you'd find similar practices.
That's true. But they also brought up the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers, even. So they do have a list here on PBS.org, NewsHour. Defense Department, that's what the article is called. The Defense Department paid $5.4 million NFL to honor the troops. But the rest of the teams paid by the federal government were the Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills, Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Browns, Dallas Cowboys, Indianapolis Colts, Kansas City Chiefs, Miami Dolphins, Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers, and St. Louis Rams. And that's those ones, and then the New York Jets, Atlanta Falcons, and Green Bay Packers, I think, are it.
There have been theories that there's military spending on Hollywood movies, too, and that so there's a sort of pro-military theme in a lot of stuff because they made an arrangement with the military for spending or for equipment. Have you ever heard of this stuff?
Well, I just listened to a Prof. CJ episode today, Dangerous History Podcast episode, and he was talking about how in World War One and Two, they did actively put out advertisements with Hollywood.
Okay.
But I don't know about movies. I don't know if I've heard about that, like specifically funding movies.
I mean, I think the example that was given, I read this a long time ago, was Transformers, that they were able to use more military equipment in exchange for a favorable view of the military in their plot. Mm. And you see that a lot, too. Like, I don't know that you could prove that it's because of funding or whatever, but there's a lot more military in like the Superman franchise that's currently out than there has been in previous ones. And you know, if it was such a worthy cause, you wouldn't have to spend so much time advertising it.
Right. And I don't even know if you really need to advertise it. I guess I'm very skeptical with advertisements. I don't think anybody should put out ads unless just to, like, let people know you're there. Because I just don't care about advertisements. I try not to pay attention to them at all. So I'm not a great... Sure. I don't have the experience and I don't have the mindset to say, like, yeah, no, nobody does that, I guess, because I don't. If you get what I'm saying, I think I'm mixing up more words. I'm a little...
No, yeah, I get it.
But, I mean, people advertise, it must be effective, right? I guess that's part of it. Is that maybe they don't care if it's necessarily a worthy cause, but it does work.
I wonder if previous military regimes have done this. Like, you see a lot of the, like, World War II posters and things like that, and it's like the Germans and the Japanese, they have, like, explicit propaganda posters to support the war, but it's clear that they're coming from the government.
Yeah.
Like, this is sort of, they're pretending it's this private with all these fans and whatnot, and they're acting like it's a sort of sincere act of, I don't know, genuflection toward the state. But I've never heard of this in other military regimes. Like, I'd never heard of like Nazi Germany, for example, or any of these others, like, trying to infect the public or the private media, you know what I mean? Except maybe to censor them.
Yeah. And that's what I, when Prof. CJ was talking about that on one of his episodes, that's what I got from it, was that they were just really putting out advertisements on TV and the radio and whatnot. I guess they didn't have TV back then. But they were also censoring. But that seemed to be about it. You know, but I guess they've always had those posters like Uncle Sam wants you to join, you know?
Yeah, but they don't pretend that Uncle Sam is like a popular pop star or something. Like, we all know Uncle Sam is a government creation.
That's true. Yeah, I can't think of a situation, I guess.
Well, we'll have more when we get back. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, chasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Meow. Meow.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends for the last segment in hour number one, but we'll be back in hour number two. In the meantime, you had a question about ethics.
Yeah, so we touched on this a little bit earlier in the hour, but ethics is something that I really enjoy. I'm a big philosophy nerd, and that's mostly what I talk about on my own show, Anarcho-Yakitalism Podcast. It's usually philosophy, and a lot of the time recently it's been about ethics, because I think it's a really interesting field to study. If we're using the definition of ethics, that ethics is the study of what it is to live a good life, then I think it's definitely super important. And one of the things I think is interesting in ethics, it's kind of also gets beyond ethics a little bit, but why don't people get along all the time? Like, why don't we all just get along? I think it's a really interesting question, because a lot of people do talk about this. They bring it up, and like, it's the, I don't know who said this, but like, actually everybody says this. Like, why can't we all just get along? And I don't know if anybody's ever actually answered that question. I'm sure some philosophers have, but I haven't. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's just competing interests, isn't it? If people have desires or wants or demands that are incompatible or incongruous with other people's, then, you know, desire is infinite, resources are finite, people are going to disagree.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think you actually answered the question. Now that I think about it, that's kind of obvious. No, that's exactly right. But why do we have those conflicting interests? Why don't we all have the same interests, I guess?
Well, if it's the last slice of pie at a party and we both want it, we have competing interests.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to limited resources, right? A lot of the time.
Yeah, I guess, what do you mean by get along? I mean, those aren't very philosophical terms.
That's true. That's very true. Coexist peacefully, I guess, without aggression, both physical aggression and just kind of verbally aggressive, I guess. I don't like to say aggression with words, but, you know, kind of being, I guess, mean and aggressive. Why are people mean and aggressive?
I would say the vast majority of people are peaceful with each other most of the time.
I think so too. Well, at least that they don't usually aggress on each other. But I think people can be maybe not mean on purpose, but I do think people... I don't think that people are always nice. And very often... I don't know. I think people are often try to be nice. But I don't think that people do it very well.
Yeah. I suppose that's true. Do you think everybody wants to be nice?
No. I don't know. I mean, some people claim... like, we know people in the Liberty Movement who are totally fine with the label of a-hole.
Yeah, although I'm told they're nice in person.
That's true. I think everybody does kind of want to be nice because they want to be liked, right? People don't like to be hated.
I don't know. Maybe there are people who like to be hated. I'm not sure there's any fixing this, though. I'm not sure there's a way to, like, get all of humanity to be nice.
I'm not convinced there is one either. And I'm not sure if it's that much of a problem either.
Because you would also have different, you know, influences on niceness. Like, if a person is hungry, they get grumpy. If a person is, like, got some sort of chronic pain, they're going to be grumpy. Like, there's lots of... even if you manage to create a utopian nice society, the moment something from nature interrupted, you'd lose it.
Sure. We'll be back. Hour two. Why can't we all just get along?
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, and this allows reuse by anyone except governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org. How you doing, Dobby?
Worms. I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty great. I'm getting a little tired. We're both on the West Coast, so it's not too late for us when we do the fiends, but I feel sorry for the people that have to stay up till 3.
Yeah. But they get to stay up until 3 doing the fiends. That's not so bad.
No, it's pretty awesome. I love the opportunity to do this, and it's so fun.
And think of the greens in Scotland. There's something like 10 hours in the other direction.
Well, then it's in the early morning for them, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I don't know what it is. But we were talking about this ethical question. Why don't we all just get along? Why don't people get along all the time? And we brought up last hour that this isn't a very well-defined statement. Like, what does it mean to get along? And I think it's to coexist without inflammatory actions against each other. For an example, to get along perfectly, we wouldn't use harsh language, and we also would not use physical aggression against each other in any situation. That would be the perfect utopia. like we talked about last hour. And I don't think that that's practical, right? That's what utopia means.
Well, if there was no conflict, I think people would default to that. But there often is conflict.
Sure. Yeah, and I don't think that there's really a way to get around not having conflict. And I think that it's fine to have conflict, right? It's
Well, and inevitable.
Right. There are limited resources, and we have conflicting desires. You know, some people want to do something, and some people want to do the same thing, but they can't. There isn't enough to go around, and some people want to do different things. And
or you just straight up make a mistake. I mean, the guy that hit me with his car didn't do it on purpose. So there's a conflict suddenly out of nowhere.
Yeah. So I don't think that it's... I wonder if it would be a nice thing if people didn't take conflict in a way where you get upset about it, right? Where you do make inflammatory remarks about somebody, or you do try to use physical aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like you... When that happened, like you said that you wouldn't like call the police on the guy or try and get him arrested or deported if he was not from, didn't have his immigration paperwork.
Yeah, you know, the cops even asked me if I wanted to press charges. Like, it was part of the sort of questions they were asking me about the incident. They asked me if I wanted to press charges. And I said, well, I don't even know his situation. I would want to wait until I heard his side of it, right?
Mm-hmm. But it seems like that's a very mature thing to do, right? And it doesn't seem like most people would do that in your situation.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So is that a prerequisite? Is maturity a prerequisite to living in a nice society?
Hmm.
Because, I mean, there's immature people being born all the time.
Right. And at what point do you say that you are mature?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if I think it would be a good thing, but I don't know if I think it would be a good thing if people did, quote unquote, get along, but I'm not sure that it would be very interesting. I think conflict and I think inflammatory conflicts are kind of fun to watch. Maybe that's, I'm just a sick person, but I think that cultural, preferences would show that most people also find that entertaining.
I mean, to some extent, don't we get this outlet from entertainment?
Yeah.
Like watching a drama series, watching a soap opera. I don't know. I made this argument when I was a kid. Like, it used to be all the thing to, like, say, oh, yeah, violent video games are why kids act violent, or violent movies are why kids act violent, or whatever, right? Like, I went to school in the Columbine era, and I blamed something, and so they blamed Columbine on Marilyn Manson, so violent lyrics are what did it. And I made the argument, like, what if there's just sort of a natural tendency toward violence? Like, there's a need that we have on account of having evolved from such a violent primitive past, and that actually, like, expelling that impulse on video games and movies prevents it from happening in the real world. Like, that would be a benefit, I would think.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But I have no idea if that's true or not, but it's as likely as the next thing, so...
I guess, right? Yeah, I don't think there's any... I don't think there's any evidence to say that video games cause violence. And I don't know if there's any evidence to say that it prevents.
Well, there is. There have been studies that show that it prevents, but the greater correlation is the fact that they spend less time outside of the home, not necessarily that... Right, so like, if you don't play video games, you're more likely to be like hanging out outside with other kids, sort of getting into trouble the way that kids always have throughout all of time. But if you are playing video games, then you're more likely to be like sitting inside microwaving Hot Pockets and drinking soda, and therefore not out and getting into shenanigans, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not quite the statistic I want it to be, but, I mean, it's a statistic. It's a study somebody did. I don't know how valid it is.
Yeah. But I do think that, I think that people do kind of need some conflict in life. Because if we don't have those bad conflicts, I don't know if we necessarily learn. Like, some of the ways that I've learned to communicate effectively. I don't know if I learned how to do it, but I learned to communicate effectively because I had some inflammatory conversations with people where we were not getting along, and I was being mean, and they were not being nice either, right? So, and we didn't get along because of that. And so I learned to get better at communicating, and that seemed to make my life a little bit more, or a little bit less stressful, which I would consider a benefit. So I think that trying to get along with people is a good thing, but I don't know if everybody got along, it would be so great. I think it would be very boring.
Well, you're going to run into the problem of the nice guy is the one being walked all over, because at some point people realize that he's going out of his way to try to be nice and amicable, and they'll take advantage of that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, where at what point does trying to get along with everybody go too far? And I would say if you're being so nice that you're just giving away everything you have, and you're not living a healthy life, then yeah, you've gone too far with trying to get along with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a bit of a balance there. And this is kind of what, like, with this question, you know, why don't we all get along? I think it kind of, with ethics, you know, we're trying to figure out how much do we try to get along with everybody. I think that's where the logical, what do you call it? I don't know. It leads to that, I guess. That's the path, and I think we're getting there with that.
Do you have a good way to try? What do you mean?
I don't know. I think that there are tools to keep people calm and to keep yourself calm. Resisting from being mean and not using physical aggression. I think that's the way you try it, is you try not to do those things.
Sure. I don't know. Do you have an obligation to be nice? It kind of seems more like a preference, like an aesthetic choice.
Yeah, that's what I think. For me, I think it's in my best self-interest to not piss off the people around me.
Did you say to or not to?
Not to.
Yeah.
Like, it makes for a much more peaceful and less stressful life. If you're getting along with the people around you. And you know, sometimes it's fun to pick, like, not, I don't like to pick physical fights with people, but I do like to make some an uncomfortable conversation for a short time. Like, I'm not gonna let anybody feel bad about something they did, but if I meet a new person, you know, occasionally I'll be a little bit mean to them just as a joke. You know, if they shake my hand, I'll tell, hey, that was really a weak grip. I'll look straight in their eye, and it makes uncomfortable conversation, but it can be funny after some. No, I'm just joking with you, man. But if I did take that to a certain extent, where if I was just being mean to everybody, everybody would think, man, Nick Hazelton, that guy sucks, and I don't want that. So I think it really is a self-interest thing.
So there must be something in the way of people acting in their self-interest. Because, yeah. I mean, there are absolutely people who are mean for no good reason, and it does nothing but harm them, but they do it anyway.
Yeah, right, and why do they do that? And I think most of the time it's that people aren't very emotionally intelligent, and that they have something that they're not really working out, or they don't know how to express themselves in a peaceful and clear way.
I'll bet that's true.
I guess, like, for an example, like we brought up, when you're hungry and you get cranky, you don't have, we'll get back to it next segment, but you don't have the same capability of reasoning when you're hungry and stuff. So you don't have the way of expressing yourself clearly, and that becomes an issue.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Meow.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, where we're talking about the ethics of niceness.
Yeah.
What keeps you nice, Nick?
Say that again.
What keeps you nice?
Keeps me nice. The desire to be nice, I guess. I want to be nice because it seems to be my experience when I'm nice to people, they're nice to me back. And I like it when people are nice to me because... I don't know, it's just nice.
Yeah. I mean, I find I'm often nice to people who I have absolutely nothing to gain from. You know, like, whether it's like giving them a seat on public transportation or holding a door for someone or whatever, if someone looks like they need help or something. Like, there's often these encounters are brief and I never see them again, so it's not like I'm building reputation, right? Like, it's this sort of one single serving opportunity.
Yeah, I get that too. And for me, when I do that, my reasoning for doing that, maybe it's my rationalization, is that, for one thing, it makes me feel good. I don't really know why. I think it's I just like to help out people. And I don't know, there's something about knowing that, hey, this helped somebody out. That's kind of nice. I mean, like, why are we doing some of the stuff that we're doing in the activism we do, right? It's because we want to help out the world and we want to help people out. Kind of a sense of community. But yeah, that's interesting. So it's not always necessarily pure self-interest, I guess. Like, this is going to benefit me by building a reputation with this person. But it is a benefit in that it makes you feel good, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Enneagram personality test?
Maybe. It sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
I took it recently. I don't remember how many options there are. I think there are maybe 10 or so different possible personality types, but I ended up getting helper. And it sort of says that, like, they're the type of person who especially likes helping a stranger, right? Or especially likes of use to those around them, right? Like, they have to feel like they have a purpose in the context of a community or something like that. But it also suggested that that could be manipulative, that when they're not healthy, helpers can use help to create obligations or sort of soft obligations in people. Like, I helped you, now you've got to be nice to me, kind of thing. So there might be some risk of that.
Sure. That is interesting. Yeah, people who are nice and they... you know, do something for you expecting a favor. For me, I don't know if I expect people to do me favors, but, you know, I'd like to be appreciated. And when somebody does something nice for me, my immediate reaction is, well, I better find a way to do something nice for them.
Yeah. I remember reading about cultures where... like, essentially, to be in debt with someone was to be a part of their community. So if, like, a new person moved into their community or their neighborhood or whatever, the first thing that they would do was bring that person a gift. And the cultural understanding, the custom was that now that person understands that they have to reciprocate. And so they can reciprocate with a slightly less valuable gift or a slightly more valuable gift. But if they respond in kind with an equal valued gift, that's considered an insult because it's like saying you don't want to have any debt with that person.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, looking at
it's someone... totally counterintuitive for me. Like, I hate being in debt at all. So.
Yeah, me too. But some degree, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, when I feel like somebody has done too many nice things for me and I haven't done enough back, I do feel a little bit guilty, and I think, man, I really need to do something, because it does make you kind of feel bad. Right? I don't know what that is. Kind of a very individualist streak that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people are that way. It's like we don't like handouts. People tend to not like to be a charity case, right?
And if yeah, for sure.
The point where you feel like that, then no, yeah, you don't want people to be that nice to you.
But there are people with the opposite impression. There are people who are looking for every handout in every angle in every situation.
That is true.
So let's talk about them when we get back from the break.
Freedom Fiends, the charity case.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. My name is Dobby Barker, the Shiny Badger. And I'm here with Nick. And we're yakking it up. Where'd we leave off? I don't remember.
We left off with people who desire to be the reciprocant of I'm not sure. I'm too tired of using words. Yeah, the people want to be charity cases.
Yeah, there are people who, when they receive charity, they don't sort of feel a drive to get back on their feet. I guess they don't find it. It doesn't isn't a blow to their pride at all to accept charity, and so it just becomes another sort of mechanism for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, whereas for others, there's a sort of desire for self-reliance that sort of, you know, even if we have to call upon friends from time to time, we try to get out from under it.
Yeah. So one of my things, like I have a, that's not a motto because I don't always follow it, but one of the things I like to tell people as kind of a joke is take advantage of people's kindness. Like if somebody's offering to buy you dinner, let them do it.
Right.
Because it'll make them feel good. Right. And I don't always follow that. Right. There isn't there's, it's not a 100% rule. It doesn't work every time. But there are cases where I think it is good to do that.
And why not?
Right. Does it really harm you to let somebody be nice to you?
And the same goes for being nice to other people. You may as well sort of maybe randomly or maybe on a special occasion or whatever, like invite a friend out to lunch or dinner or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Or even a stranger.
Yeah, some random person. I mean, yeah, that would make somebody's day. I mean, I would appreciate it if somebody asked me out for lunch on the street. I don't know if I'd accept, but I mean, it's a nice gesture.
You know, it might also end up being one of the more interesting conversations you'll ever have. You never know.
Yeah. I might just do that now.
There you go.
No, but going back to these people who do, like, I guess take advantage, like really take advantage of people's kindness and in a way that it just gets irritating, right? I can't think of anybody that I know that's like that. But I could tell you that, yeah, I would not appreciate somebody that would just do that. That would take advantage of people's kindness and that they'd let people do whatever they want for them and then they'd never reciprocate back.
Right.
You know, that's not a nice person. That's not somebody you want to hang out with.
I wonder if there's an equal sort of instinct to pay it forward. Like, if there's an instinct to be nice for niceness's sake, I wonder if there's an instinct once you've, once you're the recipient of something nice, if there's then social pressure or maybe an instinct to do something nice for another person.
I do think that there is both, I would say. Like, if something happens nice to you, it makes you feel a little bit better in that, hey, I kind of want to do this for somebody else. But also, like, oh, man, somebody's been nice to me. Gee, now I feel bad for not being so nice, so I should do something nice as well. Hmm. Kind of goes that both way, where it's a good feeling and it's also a bad feeling sometimes.
You mean not nice to the person who was nice to you? Like, you're reciprocating with something less nice?
I'm thinking of like the pay it forward thing, like where people will buy a coffee for the next person. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
that kind of idea. So yeah, I was just thinking of just being kind in general. But no, I think that that also applies to being kind back.
Hmm.
Like if somebody compliments you, like you kind of want to compliment them back, like, and then. It might be because, oh, that was really nice of them to say. Or it was like, oh, gee, man, now I don't feel like I'm being a nice person.
So do you have a theory on how to get this to be more widespread?
I don't know. Just be nice to people and it gets them to be nicer.
Hmm.
I think. But I wonder how often do people respond to kindness with aggression or being mean? With hostility, that's the word.
I don't know. Give me an example. What do you mean?
So I guess that it would be the, most of the time it would be the handout case where your parents offer to buy you a car and you're like, no, let me do it on my own, Dad. Like, that's just
a
random example you could think of.
Fair enough.
So, but I feel like that kind of comes from like being a little bit insecure, right? With you're not feeling like you're able to be independent enough, if that's the case, if you're getting mad.
Which person? For
the son in the case, or like, I guess it.
Oh, the recipient of charity.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy who's mad at his dad for trying to buy him a car.
Sure. I mean, I think it's probably different with parents too, or different with family in general. That, like, you can both expect more and maybe even tolerate more from them than you can from the general population.
Yeah, I think that's true. A lot of the farm stuff that goes along around here, it's my parents' land, and my dad and my parents have said, yeah, we're going to help you pay for all the facilities. You have to pay off all the animals and all the stuff that goes along with that, but everything that's permanent, you know, they've offered to do that. And I'm willing to accept that. For one thing, like, I can't afford that. I just can't afford all the fencing, especially right at the moment. But also, I think it builds a little bit more of a stronger bond with my parents, right? Like, my dad and my mom want me to stay here and use the land because it's family land, so we have this kind of bond to it. And it's nice that somebody's using it, so, like, hey, let's help them do that. And I'm all for it because I feel like I want to do that out of some pride in my family and owning this land.
Sure.
So, I think that you're right with that. That it's a different kind of relationship with your parents.
I kind of think spontaneous kindness to strangers should be almost random. Like, they shouldn't even know who it came from.
No, I think you're exactly right. One of the things that this is on my to-do list is somebody. I was in town for 4th of July, and I was trying to get out of a parking lot onto the main road, and it was just constant traffic. Everybody's trying to go back home at midnight, and I was like, oh, man, I'm going to be sitting here for, like, at least half an hour before somebody lets me go. But right then, somebody let me go, and I was like, to the passengers in the car, I was like, hey, get that person's license plate number so I can go find their address and send them flowers.
Can really you do that? You can track down an address using a license plate?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But it's on my list to do that. But, you know, those little things that it really does, like, make a person's day. Like, I love it when people do something nice to me in traffic, so I try to do the same. right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is random.
I kind of like the idea of random things showing up in the mail.
Yeah.
Like drawings or greeting cards or socks or whatever.
Yeah. It also makes for like a really great story, too.
Right? Yeah.
Like, oh, I got this thing in the mail. Like, wow. That's like, yeah, that's just kind of fun.
You know, I do a lot of things just because they make a good story.
Mm-hmm. Like, name an example. Tell us a good story.
I took an oath of silence for a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you keep it?
I did.
Wow.
This was in the era of the Build-A-Bear. I don't know if you ever saw the Build-A-Bear things in the mall. But yeah. They had custom voice boxes where you could record something before you put it into the bear. And so I got three of those voice boxes, and I recorded the phrases yes, no, and I was about to say that. And I made myself a bracelet of these little voice boxes so I could at least say those things if I ever got really stuck. But other than that, no. I was living with friends, and so there was always somebody to explain to the new person what I was up to, and I got by just fine.
That's great.
One of the interesting things, it's funny, in the beginning, you spend a lot of time listening because you're not speaking, right? And so you just listen. But after a while, you realize that you don't even have to listen because nobody's expecting you to respond.
Oh, yeah.
So you can kind of just smile and nod, and everyone thinks you're listening, and you're never put on the spot to verify that you're listening because you're not speaking.
That's great. Man, I should do that.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Makes a good story.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice celebration at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get up and do a big filibuster for your friends?
No, but that would have been a good idea.
I think it's a really good idea to do that, just from a personal standpoint. Like, that's just fun to do those little weird things. Like I told you, like, you know, if I shake his
I just built hand. A tent in my living room. That's sort of a weird thing. That's a good story.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, what is he doing?
I was just making like a chill place, you know, like that room is kind of dark and it has track lighting. So like through a tent, it kind of looks like stars. And
oh, that's cool.
So there's like a couch in there and like a throw rug. And it's a nice place to sort of sit and watch TV.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
No, just a cat.
That's awesome, man.
But you know, it's just a story. You know, I have a tent in my living room.
Yeah, that's right. And you get to explain it. It makes great conversation starters. One of the things I did recently, kind of like that, is I found this metal aluminum bar. It was just a little tiny thing, and I handed it to my friend. I'm like, I told him, hey, give this to somebody in your family and tell them that, like, Nick knows what you need to do with that, or that, like, whatever, something like that. And I don't think I ever got, like, I haven't heard back from any of his family members, but, you know, that makes an interesting conversation with that person, whoever
sure.
got that bar. And it's just fun.
Maybe they're still holding on to it.
I hope so.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends. And we're back. We are. I think if I had to sum up what it is we're saying, I would say that it's sort of, it's the gospel of Bill and Ted, right? Be excellent to each other.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally right. I don't know, I think it's a very interesting question, and I think maybe radio is not the best format for getting, like, why don't people get along? Because we get interrupted so many times. But I think we got here to an interesting point where I think we both agree that, you know, let's just be, like you said, excellent to each other.
Yeah. I don't know that we've solved the problem of why people aren't, at least not all people, because everybody's got their own reasons.
Right.
But I guess, you know, the one that we could solve is sometimes people aren't nice because the legal incentives incentivize them incorrectly. They're punished for being nice in some cases, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to, like, I mean, we talked about this earlier, especially last hour, with the guy that they hit you in the car. You know, for whatever reason, there's multiple possibilities, but, you know, that guy just couldn't stick around.
Yeah.
And help you out, which is disappointing. And, I'm, like we've been talking about, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't stop and at least, like, apologize. Because it's kind of clear if you're running a red light that you're doing something wrong. If you hit somebody, you know, I'd at least hope that that guy was going to stop and apologize if he didn't have some other incentive not to.
I think it goes all the way back to your point at the very beginning about yak farming. Like, if there are these regulatory hoops that you have to go through before you're allowed to sell meat, that means that you can't be a benefit to your neighbors by raising meat for your neighborhood. Because the bureaucratic overhead is too cumbersome. And I'll bet that goes for all sorts of things. Like, you know, there was that blog that was shut down because it was dispensing medical advice. He was talking about alternative medicines. And somebody complained, I think it might have even also been the FDA. Somebody complained that he was giving medical advice without a permit or without a license or whatever. And, you know, he was just dispensing the wisdom of the ages, you know, like people have been using herbs as remedies for as long as people have had remedies.
Yeah.
But, you know, the law prevented him from doing a nice thing. I've seen neighborhood libraries shut down, like somebody will set up a case in their front yard that just says, you know, take a book, leave a book. Community library, those get shut down. I recently saw a video of a guy who said there was a homeless woman sleeping in front of his house, and so rather than sort of go and shoo her away, he went and bought some plywood and 2x4s and built her a little shelter, right, so that she wouldn't be sleeping on the street. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are of course dozens of coding violations to such a shelter. Like, there's no running water, there's no electricity, there's no plumbing, there's no, you know, whatever. So it's like, here he was trying to do a good thing, but, you know, regulations.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Man, the government always in the way.
Well, I'm not saying it's the only reason that people are mean to each other. I'm just saying it's one that's that you can get rid of.
No, absolutely. No, yeah, I totally agree. I think other reasons are that, like I brought up way earlier, was that people don't necessarily have the tools to communicate effectively.
For sure.
It was excellent. to be with you today, Dobby.
Party on, Nick. Well, that's not Bill and Ted. That's Wayne's World. But I believe that Wayne and Garth would have subscribed to the Ted, Bill and Ted gospel of be excellent to each other. And I know that I do. So be excellent, Nick.
Words.
Until next time, guys, this is the Freedom Fiends. Worms.